Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and we'll be with you for at least the next hour on this November the 16th on the West Coast, now November the 17th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. Hope you had a great weekend. I did, although all I did was research. And more research, nonstop, pretty much over the whole weekend. But found some very, very interesting facts that we'll be bringing forth, as I did this afternoon on Drew Raines, a Marine's Disquisition radio show, heard on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on BlogTalkRadio.com. We'd like to welcome those two networks to the show tonight as well. Lots going on. Of course, the flu pandemic has reached a level where the numbers are just doubling every day, according to official stories. Certain towns I know of in Ohio, for example, are being given free swine flu shots. It's amazing that people are lining up for these free shots. They have no idea what they're doing other than believing the tripe that they listen to on the mainstream media. And there's virtually no facts about the swine flu pandemic nor the vaccine coming out. They're just telling people they have to get them. And the sheeple are actually lining up and getting these free shots. It's amazing. It's amazing that the lies that have come out of the Akron, Ohio Department of Health and its head, I don't remember his name. I didn't really even think it was that important to know it. But he stressed that the concern of medical personnel in the hospitals and the doctors is that someone will get the swine flu because they have an infection or some other malaise that was undetected, and that if they don't get the shot, they could conceivably succumb to whatever infection or malaise they had, and including the swine flu. In other words, the swine flu vaccine is what's going to correct the problem they have with their infection or their other malaise? I don't think so. Yet, that's quite misleading information that they give out. Then they say that if you do get sick after you take the swine flu vaccine, it's probably because you waited too long. Again, another lie. And yet people are lining up in Akron, Lyndhurst, and North Olmsted, as well as Brecksville, which is where the Northeast Ohio VA hospital is. I find that interesting. All these areas are giving out free shots. And who do you think is paying for the free shots, folks? Think about it. Well, with that comment and a likely discussion on what transpired at Fort Hood and how that story is developing, including our own independent investigation, tonight's guest, who is a talk show host in his own right, he is a naturopathic doctor or naturopathic doctor and a nutritionalist. And he is also an excellent researcher, a talk show host, which airs on two different networks, Monday through Friday, on Republic Broadcasting Network and on the Rent Radio Network. The show is called The Story Behind the Story, and its host and creator is none other than tonight's guest, Dr. A. True Ott. Dr. Ott, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don. It's a pleasure to be on the show again. Hope all's well with you. It's been a great weekend for me as well, doing research on the same subject, as you know.
Yes. For our listeners, we're working on a piece that's really a collaborative effort on the Fort Hood story. And I suspect that we have just been given a total script that has nothing to do with reality. And it appears that, as I've mentioned on other shows, that International Currency Review publisher and editor Christopher Story agrees with us on many points. I'm not following his leads per se, but I find it interesting that he's coming to many of the same conclusions that you and I have. Although he hasn't seen our information yet, and it's pretty mind-blowing. I'm sure you'd agree.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's what I did a monologue on my show today. My guest, as you know, didn't make it, had personal problems, and so we just kind of gave it a winging. But I tell you what, the information coming out about Ducell, you know, Ducell is the Deep Underground Science Engineering Laboratory, and the aptly named Butt Mountain of Blacksburg, Virginia. I got to laugh every time I say that. You know, Butt Mountain, B-U-T-T. Yes, and yeah, the DARPA connection with this supposed shooter just doesn't make sense. Unless you put it together with the Manchurian Candidate MK Ultra connection of that region, of course. As you pointed out, I've confirmed as well, this shooter Nidal Malik Hassan, a.k.a. Ali El Zain, or whatever you want to call him, he's got a number of different aliases, does trace back to this weirdness coming out of Virginia Tech. That's where he was educated, evidently, and digging into what he was doing in this so-called internship, he was really not so much into psychiatry as testing mind control chemical substances in all places of Walter Reed Hospital, notorious for experimentation during the MK Ultra years on homeless people, prison inmates, and our military personnel as well. Incredible story there. So yeah, this the odds of this being just a, you know, as it's been reported, just doesn't add up. He couldn't possibly have taken just two 45 caliber pistols and in the space of just 5 minutes' time, he emptied out, shot over 100 rounds, and killed and wounded that many people. It just is not logical.
No, and it's difficult to make two handguns sound like automatic weapons fire too at the same time.
Exactly.
You know, it's the story that we've been given is absolutely ridiculous. Now, I wanted to ask you a question, Dr. Rod, if you don't mind that we discuss this issue a little bit tonight. Maybe we'll end up talking about it the whole show. Who knows? Do you find it a bit difficult to imagine that someone would go to a hospital as a post-graduate or as a graduate school and then a postgraduate school to earn a degree in psychiatry after having a bachelor's degree in microbiology? Biochemistry.
Yeah.
A biochemistry degree, and then you go into psychiatry. Now, that's possible if they're using drugs. That's quite obvious. But in other words, what I'm getting at is the Walter Reed Army Medical Center considered a certified school? You know, like any other medical school?
Well, it's part of DARPA, no doubt about it. Walter Reed is tied to the Howard Hughes Institute, which in, of course in turn is tied to Fort Detrick and that whole insanity going on back there. Mind control drugs that have been tested, you can bet that this Hassan is deeply involved in the testing and the development of them as well. So I think if you keep digging and we'll find out that this is tied to the same group of individuals responsible for this biological weapon we're calling the swine flu now. It really is the same group of people.
Yes, it's become clear to Christopher Story, and I would have to say independently what I have found out on my own through doing my standard genealogical research and really identifying the name with a person and identifying the name with an image of the person. And when you find out that all the aliases have pictures that match, regardless of what the name is, it's the same face. It's pretty much a slam dunk that I've identified the person using the aliases. And when that picture matches the person who was named Nidal Malik Hassan, that cannot be his name. In fact, the name Malik refers clandestinely to the financing of Al-Qaeda. So we know that the CIA is behind it, and we know the CIA is behind these mind control programs, MKUltra being one, which is run at the school he attended. Actually, at two of the schools he attended. And you could say, if the hospital is a bona fide school, granted, if there's a government, secret government program there involving mind control and other types of technology to be used on the masses, that doesn't necessarily make them an accredited school. And what I find interesting is that even though this, we'll use the name Hassan for the listening audience, even though he has a certification number from the Virginia Bureau of Medicine, I find it interesting that there are no certificates, absolutely none, no publications of any kind. In fact, there's a doctor there at the hospital who is quoted as saying that he was an incompetent psychiatrist. So this is sort of like winning the Nobel Peace Prize, you know, in psychiatry. He's given this title that he probably hasn't earned, and that's for public consumption. What I find interesting is that his father used the name Malik as a first name, and he has it as a second name or a middle name, yet there's another name, Abdulwali, that is allegedly his real first name. So why the name Nidal? Well, they have to redirect his identity in a different direction, so they created one. But the Malik applies to the money laundering aspect of this organization and all the investment companies that use the name Malik. And what is interesting about that is the locations of these companies match the locations of all the aliases or all the people that are playing a role in this money laundering scheme, which heavily involves real estate. And if I can give you a quick example, then I'd like you to comment on this.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Story says in a recent piece at his worldreports.org website, and I have this reposted with permission and attribution on my Direct Light Productions website under News. The Malik Trail identifies the following linkages. Malik Investments Incorporated, Carrollton, Texas. Malik Investments LLC, Charlotte, North Carolina. So far, we have people involved in the scheme in these locations. Malik Investments Incorporated, Stone Mountain, Georgia, again. Elias Malik, Chief Manager, Habib Bank, Zurich, previously branch manager at the Baker Street branch in London. Malik Management Zentrum, St. Gallen Seminar AG, which is in Switzerland. Malik Enterprise, based at Anaheim, California. That is the general location of two companies that are controlling real estate fraudulently across the country. Countrywide, which is really in Santa Ana, that's in the neighborhood of Anaheim, and First American Credco, which handles title insurance, government control of public properties, and even taxes. Then you have Malik Enterprises, LLC, Key Biscayne, Florida, another address that pops up with these aliases. Malik Holdings, Inc., Oxon Hill, Maryland. Malik Trading Corporation, Madison, Georgia. Malik's Corporation, Washington, D.C. What I find interesting is that these people who were supposedly living in Vinton or Roanoke, Virginia, and Blacksburg, in the case of Nidal Malik Hassan, I find that they all have an address in Washington, D.C. Now, his address would be in Bethesda, Maryland, yet no address in Bethesda shows up under certain of the aliases. In others, it does. So there's a purpose that these aliases have, and they go international. They can have connections to Palestine, Jordan, United Arab Emirates, in Dubai, for example, Egypt. There's one connection to the Fulbright Commission, the scholarship commission in Egypt. Find it very, very interesting. These people are involved in computer databases involving real estate or people or money. And the connections also go into Syria and Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Iraq, even Iran. So who do you think this is we're talking about here when we identify these countries and these banks and Al-Qaeda and these real estate firms, these investment companies that seem to have these repeat addresses across the country, regardless of who it is we're looking at? They show Stone Mountain, Georgia really sticks out like a thumb, for example. Not many people would show up there, yet all of these people do.
Well, yeah, it doesn't fit that this incompetent individual, as far as psychiatry is concerned, could be involved in all of these business concerns unless it's a front. You know, the whole concept of the MK Ultra Project Monarch and its diversity fits much, much better than this just being a deranged Muslim fanatic, as the press wants us to believe. And here in Utah, there was unfortunately a young man from Salt Lake City who was one of the victims, was shot and killed. They had his military funeral, full military honors. It was given a lot of press coverage, both in the newspapers as well as the TV coverage, and interviewing relatives and friends, the central theme was anger, outrage, spoken that the government would allow such a Muslim fanatic to be able to do this. So the central theme is again anger and hatred to Muslims, being again tied to the atrocities, so-called, of 9/11. They're just, it's an outgrowth of that. And I find it really strangely coincidental that now that this shooter is identified as this Hassan Muslim, right, we have Hillary Clinton and other bigwigs now declaring that the five Guantanamo Bay inmates will now face trial for their role in the Twin Towers attack, and they'll have it in an absolutely insane situation going on in New York State, civil in the regular civilian courts. Now, think about it. The timing of this, Don, couldn't be more suspect. You have these inmates, tied to what very, very slim thread. They've been arrested. They've been brought in from wherever, where it's Afghanistan or wherever they're arrested, brought in, held, undoubtedly tortured, mind controlled for 8 years or so, and just now they have a trial pending.
Well, they're calling him the mastermind. One of them, anyway.
Yeah.
I thought that was Bin Laden.
Well, yeah, and just take a look at this, at the pictures they parade up on, and the harsh words from Hillary Clinton. You know, she's not even to have her say these things when she's really just, you know, has no business being a representative of New York State. Just absolutely, just makes me shudder. What is going on that they're trying to again inflame the hatred of the Muslim people right now at a time where we're facing all of these crises around the.
Well, they're trying to build up justification to attack Iran. That makes this a CIA Mossad operation at Fort Hood all the way.
Yes.
And I can tell you that the links to the CIA created Al Qaeda, and let's not even dispute that. We know that Bin Laden met with Ted Gunderson, Ralph Oberg, Michael Reconosciuto, and a few other people taking tours of bases here in the United States, going basically grocery shopping for arms and Red Mercury, Stinger missiles, and computer software and cash. We know that that occurred at the Hilton Inn in Sherman Oaks, California in 1986.
Mm-hmm.
That's how far back we know that Bin Laden was working for the CIA. And yet, this is kept out of the mainstream media. They give him credit for founding Al-Qaeda, when in reality, it's the CIA. It's George H.W. Bush and company.
Yeah.
So the duplicitous nature of all of this is obviously setting up the pretext to attack Iran. They preceded all of this insanity with their token meetings at the UN, which is exactly what they did when they invaded Iraq the first time, if you recall.
Right, right. Yeah, it's it just keeps going towards the fulfillment of the protocols of the Wise Men of Zion, and of course the writings of Albert Pike and others, from their directives of the God that they worship, and that God is Lucifer, the Dark Lord, and it's very clear they want to have the final grand stage battle in ancient Persia, which of course is Iran, and all nations are pointing to being involved in this last great battle, and I don't see why the people of the world can't see through their plot and their plan and just refuse. It's literally a time of crossroads, Don. It's either a new golden age coming out of enlightenment and knowledge dating back to many thousands of years and the truth being known, or it's a time of total enslavement and mass genocidal depopulation, and it's really, to me, an either-or proposition.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And once again, we're being given a choice by our Creator, aren't we?
Oh, yes.
The funny thing about this whole plot, the script designed to destroy humanity, that we're not given a choice by the authors of that script, and it doesn't take too much common sense to see that that's the case, and yet so many people are ignorant of what's going on. They succumb to the tiny little tidbits of fear that come out in an email or come out in the various types of disinformation through the mainstream media. People just aren't getting it for some reason. Now, just for your edification, we've got a question that came through to Seth here. Mark from Tacoma would like to know about the current status of Yosef Moshe, and is wondering who's buying Bailey's Fitness. Could they use the gyms to spread the flu? Is the question. We've got a couple of questions here, I guess. So,
Well, I really don't know what became of this Yosef Moshe. My name has been linked on the internet to a lot of reports. There's a lot of literary license being taken. If you understand the history, I had a series of radio shows. This is well before my Story Behind the Story show even was launched. This is I did these shows back in August, where we talked on different radio shows throughout the country. Actually, I did a series of five in about 3 days, where I talked about my recent writing and paper that I published on the origins of this virus, going back into the weapons labs of Fort Detrick, and I believed that it could well be manufactured, outsourced in the ex-Soviet Union weapons labs in the Ukraine, and we had the knowledge of the reverse engineering programs going on at Fort Detrick, but the outsourcing of these manufacturing in large quantities in Ukraine was just a speculation mostly. But the information of the reverse engineering is clearly evident by published papers of the people involved. They like to brag about what they've done, and so I was just basically commenting on the air at that time in about the middle of August that I had, through Dr. Bill Deagle and others, we decided to try and get some criminal charges filed with the U.S. Attorney's Office, and I had contacted through my attorney here in Utah. She had made contact with some other judges and attorneys that she knew well, and bounced the information off of them. And the response that she gave me was basically, it's no crime, or prosecutable crime at least, by the U.S. Attorney's view, for a weapons laboratory under the U.S. Army at Fort Detrick to reverse engineer and produce and stockpile a killer virus. It's questionable, more, you know, ethically and morally, if it would violate international law, but really it's happening all the time there, and it's accepted, you know, from whether it's a plague, a bacteria or a virus, or an anthrax bacillus, okay, they do it all the time, and it's not, as they explained to me, a crime to produce and patent this virus and even the vaccine to fight it. Now, it sounds really wild that this would be totally legal from a U.S. attorney's viewpoint, but I see what they were saying. It's under the aspects of defense, defense research projects, DARPA. I mean, they do it. They've been doing it since the 50s and 60s. But if it is, in fact, released on the general public, well, then that's a horse of a different color, you see. It becomes a crime, just like the Ames strain of anthrax being released via the U.S. mail to Senator Daschle's office and to other places in Florida, and then that becomes a federal crime. crime with, you know, high stakes involved. Now, when I received that notification and I was talking on in August, and back in August, I was asking on these radio shows to have any information as far as knowledge of an inside whistleblower that could come forth and declare what they knew about it being released. And if they could be credible and become a witness, then we could file some criminal indictments and make it have meat. Well, I put out the information, gave my phone numbers and email address on these shows, and I received a call from a gentleman with quite a heavy Middle Eastern accent, it seemed to me. He never identified himself by name. He said he heard the radio show, and he said, I basically have my conscience is now directing me to give you the information that you seek. Well, he would tell me that, only would tell me that he was in Southern California, and then I directed him to Dr. Bill Deagle, gave him his phone number, and said if he didn't contact Deagle, then to take his information to the U.S. Attorney's office, file a formal complaint, leave the documentation he had with them, and then notify me again that it's done. And then we would take it from there as far as following up with citizen, you know, criminal charges. Now, again, I want to emphasize this guy never gave me his name. I never wrote it down. I didn't really even know if this was a credible call or not. I would leave it to the attorney, the U.S. Attorney's Office, to sort through it, and then he would be in touch with me, which I was planning on. The next day, I was in Baltimore, Maryland, on a conference, and read through an email from Jeff Rentz that there was this incredible standoff there at the Los Angeles Federal Building. And putting two and two together, I just really strongly believe it was this Moshe that called me, though I can't substantiate or prove anything because there was nothing recorded. There was nothing that I had other than just this one-on-one phone call. But I'm just here to tell you that I think he was viable. I think he had evidence linking the Mossad and the CIA to these weapons labs in Fort Detrick and the Ukraine. And the information he said was that this would be could be released as well in the Ukraine and into the Baltic states as part of their plan. Again, he said that I was right on, that he knew that there were at least as many as five different virus substrains that had been reverse engineered, each one with different levels of lethality and morbidity involved. And that they would, could very likely be released, and he would know who the people were that held them, and all of the information he had in his file of information he was going to pass on. But obviously he was never given the chance. He was, according to all the news reports, he was arrested, and charged with making terrorist threats against Bin Laden and personal attack against the White House. Now, that's all that I know about it. I don't know what the disposition of the case is. I don't know whether he was extradited to Israel or whether he's even alive today. That's a mystery, and I frankly have not thought it wise to dig into that one too deeply. But in answer to the question, that's the the story behind the story, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I shared my sentiments about why that operation might have occurred, and likely was intended to debunk the truth that was coming out in your writings and on your radio show.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about it. In fact, many speculated that this Moshe was a Mossad agent who had been trained. Now, he could have even been a bit more advanced, maybe Sayeret Maktal, but definitely Israeli intelligence. And this would have been perpetrated to not risk this information, or if, let's say, for instance, that it was true that he had this information and was going to release this and make a public spectacle of this, the pharmaceutical companies stand to lose billions and billions of dollars as a result of this. So the question is, was he operating on their behalf, and was this all just a big front to make him look like some sort of wacko, since he had gotten in touch with you to try to discredit you?
Well, anything's possible, as Don Harkins would say. And, you know, I just wonder sometimes how they can continue to get away with it. As you said at the top of the show, Here's all of these vaccines now hitting the market. Many of them are free to the public, or they've been being charged $25. And just as I said in my paper on immunosterilization, Don, there is just way too many reports now of pregnant women getting this intramuscular vaccine and being put at the front of the line, and having spontaneous abortions and miscarriages. I really believe this is by design. I think it has to do a lot with blood type as well. I think they're able to target specific blood types to have these abortions happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's just absolutely not coincidental that this is happening now. And I'm going to be talking about this more on my radio shows as well. I'll be trying to line up some individuals to come on the show and tell their story of how they lost their fetuses. Now, again, like I said in my paper on immunosterilization, this patented vaccine by Novartis is so amazingly similar to a immunosterilization vaccine patented and used by the University of Georgia involving porcine pig glycoproteins mixed with oil and water squalene adjuvant that is just not coincidental that this is designed to be a tool to cause permanent sterilization of a certain class of people with a certain blood type. And there's reasons for that, going back to what the Club of Rome had their publication in the 1970s, wanting to target specific populations for birth control and population reduction. It fits along totally with the agenda of the Club of Rome, which is really the parent organization of the World Health Organization. And the whole announcement from the floor of the UN back in 2004 on this upcoming pandemic that's inevitable. It's all a crescendo of staged events, Don, that just boggles the mind that people can't see through this. Why anybody with half a brain would line up for this vaccine, it just blows me away. The pandemic is doubling, the cases are doubling and tripling. Why? Because a month ago, you have the flu mist nasal inhaler, which is live viruses that are, we've said many times on the show back in August and September, that if you want to cause a pandemic to spread geometrically, well, inject live viruses into the nasal passages of millions of people and let them shed these live viruses to the population over a 3 to 4 week period of time and just reap the harvest. And that's exactly what's happening.
Yes, yes. Well, now, we didn't get our question about Bally's Fitness answered,
yeah.
And I don't expect you to have that answer.
Well, no, there's a lot more efficient ways to spread the virus than to buy a health chain and spread it that way. The most efficient way is, just as I explained, through a company called MedImmune, which just also has a patent on this live virus. This live influenza virus is actually patented and held by MedImmune. And MedImmune, of course, there in Gaithersburg, Maryland, is inextricably tied to Fort Detrick and the National Institutes of Health. Isn't that just a very cozy, coincidental relationship?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's talk about another coincidental relationship. In doing my research on Dr. Henry Nyman's blog sites and just reading the drivel that I find there, this constant promotion of these vaccines, which we know Nyman's company will profit immensely through the licensing agreements worked out with the various pharmaceutical companies. There's an individual that posts regular comments under the handle MKEY1, the letter M, and then the word key, and the numeral 1. And I suspected that this was a female posting. And, of course, I did a lot of research and found out that there was likely a connection in the computer industry or the information technology industry. And I stumbled across a lesson in how to set up a satellite receiver and dish for proper satellite reception. And was written by an MKEY1. And it's a woman who's got her picture on this particular instruction website for the use and the operation of this satellite system. And the English is not really poor, but it's not top shelf either. And so it's obvious that this person is not an American. And the location of MKEY1, believe it or not, is in the Oblast region of the Ukraine.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting? With what's been going on with Nyman's reporting on the Ukraine, this person that's regularly posting on his blog site is actually working with him.
Well, that's cozy.
And I suspect that Nyman probably edits the posts, because the posts are much better English than what I read in this satellite instruction page.
Well, let me tell you something else that's kind of a coincidence with Nyman. His company formed set with the software to track this outbreak worldwide. Of course, he's right on top of, as you said, the outbreak in the Ukraine. But it's called RIZA Labs, RHIZA Labs. Now, I've almost wondered, what's in a name, right? Well, I've just been doing some research. You know, here's what I think is in that name. You know, nearly 85% of all human beings have what's called Rh positive blood. The Rh refers to the rhesus factor. What that ties to, ladies and gentlemen, is if you test positive for the Rh factor in your blood, it's this gene that's tied to the rhesus monkey genes, okay? So 15% of all human beings are Rh negative, meaning they have no rhesus monkey genes. Now, Rh, RIZA Labs, IZA, IZA is a name that's in the ancient text of Hindu texts and the Indian text a name given to this individual that's named Jesus, or Yahweh. Was the name given for this this young lad that came and studied there in their monasteries and in Tibet, in the Tibetan region, for about 17 years. And there's a number of books written about this Iza. So R-H-I-Z-A basically, to me, is talking about the R-H factor of Isa or Christ. And it's a code to me, Don, that this is a genetic structure. Riza Labs.
Well, there's no doubt about that from the things that we've discovered about these patents and how they're being used, particularly Nyman's patents.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd like to draw another analogy in going over the Virginia Tech murders that have occurred in the last 2 years, specifically the ones in 2009, beginning on January 21st of 2009. It was a beheading that occurred, and the individual who actually did the deed was named Hyang Zhou, Zhu, Hyang Zhu, and he's purported to be a Chinese postgraduate student that knew the victim, Jin Yang. And Jin Yang has 144 listings in a particular database under her name, different addresses all over the country. Now, it's not that common of a name, I would think, at least in the United States. Maybe it is in China, I don't know. But I picked out one address out of those 144 addresses, and it was an address in Chicago leading me to a David Yang, and I found out that Mr. Yang had patented a process that eventually was consigned or signed over to a company called Genentech. In California, in the San Francisco area. And this is another ligand technology.
Right.
Found it very interesting.
Well, those listeners that don't know, ligand is the patent information tied to Henry Nyman once again.
Yes.
Ligand technologies. So.
So now I'm speaking about a ligand type of process, in other words, okay?
Right.
Not the company by name, but Genentech, the first name on this patent is an Avi Ashkenazi. And there's a connection to the Technion Institute of Technology in Tel Aviv. So we have an Israeli connection to this whole thing on the pharmaceutical end. No doubt in this case. Absolutely no doubt. And I suspect that this young lady was probably murdered to force Yang to give up the patent. I think it was a sort of extortion or blackmail, if you want to call
it. Well, yeah, and that happened in the cafeteria and just absolutely gruesome, bloody mess. Well, look what happened back in April of 2007. You have 32 people murdered, again, symbolically, incredible number, again, happened with a random shooter. What was the gentleman's name that did that?
Cho.
Cho, you know, another deranged Chinese guy, evidently.
Sung something or other Cho, if I remember.
So he's
and,
up
and, in... and it's alleged that his sister is a CIA agent as well.
Well, what I'm getting at here is, you know, there's what 275 universities, Division I across America, Don. Yet Virginia Tech has all of these weird things going on.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a reason for it. Again, it goes back to the. What Kathy O'Brien said in her book, back in 1995 when she said in Transformation of America that Virginia Tech is good for only two things, engineering and mind control.
Well, if that's if mind control is a good thing.
Well, she said they're good for only two things.
Yeah. Yeah, I get the meaning. Well, then there was another murder that occurred involving two students. These were undergraduate students. One, I believe, was studying microbiology, murdered on a camping trip, shot, and found by a passerby. Coincidentally, Chris Story picked up on the financial end of it, but Webster Tarpley picked up on the mind control, and in a very eloquent piece that he wrote, which Ken Adachi has posted on his website.
Yes, and I actually had Ken on my the Rent Network show today. He's my guest. Did a very, very good job, as usual. He's an amazing man that can talk about any subject. He certainly is educated, and educate yourself. You bet, absolutely.
Yes. Now, he's aware of the findings that I made in this independent investigation into the names, because I don't sense that Nidal Malik Hassan is this guy's real name, okay? And the only way I could prove that is if I could find a picture of one of the aliases, or, you know, one of the aliases may very well likely be his real name. And I've found a multiplicity of that name being used in other scenarios to conclude that his name is not Hassan, that his name is a combination of two names used by his mother, who is not dead but is very much alive and still contributing to political campaigns. You see, when you find out the true identity, the trail gets hot again. and it's like white hot. That's how hot it is.
Well, here's a potential. Again, if you look deeply into this this deep underground science engineering laboratory called DUSEL, DUSEL. Again, I'm not making this up, ladies and gentlemen. This sounds like something out of a James Bond fiction. It's a deep underground science engineering laboratory. It's part of the Virginia Tech complex in a place called Butt Mountain. The evidence shows that there's 7,000 feet of tunnels and secret rooms and laboratories, 7,000 feet deep. My heavens, it just crisscrosses. Who knows what covert things are going on there, but one report that's, again, this has been going on since at least the mid-60s, you're talking about such experiments deep into the hard bedrock of Butt Mountain. Particle accelerator, high particle accelerator to do mutations of viruses. There would be a reason and a rationale for have it be deep underground to contain any radiation. You've also got reports coming out from eyewitnesses that they were involved and are involved in cloning and human DNA in vitro testing. So as you talk about all these different aliases, maybe they're the same-looking person because they're the same clones coming out, and maybe dozen or more individuals with the same gene pool coming out of this laboratory nest there in Virginia Tech. When you see all these pictures, you come up with, you know, maybe it's just not coincidence they all are the same guy, because they could be clones. Just want to know if that's a possibility in your mind.
Oh, yes. In fact, when I first discussed this with Drew Raines on his show last, actually it was off the air, but we mentioned it on the show this afternoon, He said, well, when he saw two of the photos that I had discovered, one using the original that everyone has seen, and one which is of one of the aliases. What's remarkable is, as I discover more aliases, I'm finding more pictures that match. Now, there are slight differences, of course, because of angles the pictures were taken at, the time frame in which the pictures were taken, and the general grooming habits that accompany the mode of the picture. When someone is dressed up like a sheikh from Saudi Arabia, he looks a bit different from one of the other photos where the individual is completely bald and wearing Western clothing. However, you can see the similarity in the eyes, the general bone and facial structures, the position of the ears, the size of the ears. All of these things are consistent. The shape of the face and the chin, the nose being virtually the same. Maybe a difference in eyebrows, which can be changed very easily by trimming. If they are clones, one then has to ask the question, why the need for clones? Why is it that the clones are all involved in real estate money laundering and real estate fraud? I saw a picture today associated with one of the leads of a 1,650-foot house. This is not a large house by any means. In fact, most people couldn't keep a family in that house and have much room to walk around without bumping into furniture or walls. And this house was selling for $663,000. Wasn't on a big piece of land either. And not in a prime area by any means. Through Bank of America, which is a CIA bank, what do you expect to see? And this was the case in all of the properties, those that weren't apartment complexes. Now, what I find interesting is that Nidal's parents are supposed to have died, the father in 1998. I should say Hassan, Nidal Malik Hassan's parents, Malik Hassan, and then his mother, who goes by several names, but Hanan Ismail Nora Hassan. She supposedly died in 2001. Neither parent is listed in any database in the world as having died under that name. Neither parent who came to the United States allegedly in their obituary, which is the only reference to them dying. The father came to the United States in 1962, having been born in 1946 and arriving here at age 16. The mother, in her youth, it says, in a very early age. She's alleged to have been born in 1952, dying in 2001. Neither parent, who spent most of their life here in the United States, has a Social Security number. So the check in the Social Security Death Index comes up blank as well. Why wouldn't you have two people that died listed anywhere as having died? By a coroner, a funeral home, the Social Security Administration. None of those cases produces any evidence other than two articles written in the Roanoke Times as obituaries. And they're feel-good obituaries that absolutely are filled with lies, to tell you the truth, on the basis of what I've discovered. So these are cover stories to turn these two into CIA spooks. Simple. Now, when you have their aliases and you see they're very much still alive and very much making political contributions, documented, okay, these things can be traced. I did come up with one picture that I understand would be the two parents under the name of Zane, and that's the name that I've landed on, Ali Zane. For the guy that they're calling Nidal Malik Hassan. There were court documents in the name of the Zanes. The father's name is a little bit different from what we've been told. In fact, they don't use the name Malik at all. Malik is this public name that they've put out in front of us, which can be attributed to those financial companies that I mentioned. So as we connect the dots, the picture becomes very clear. And whether they're clones or not, there's a continuous pattern of real estate fraud and money laundering and corruption that likely is financing Al-Qaeda through the CIA. And I've got names of some realty companies as well. Very, very interesting connection there, too, because one of the people supposedly working for this real estate company is a professor at guess what school?
Virginia Tech.
Yeah, good guess. There you go, you see. So is it an accident that these people come back full circle to these organizations? It's all one big operation. Not that difficult to understand. They basically pulled a fast one on us, another false flag event, but we see through it, and there aren't that many facts really that we have to uncover other than the allusion to the bank robbery, we'll call it, that occurred, the stealing of the Chinese funds. Now, I understand that the Chinese did get that money. They did find that money. And information has come out that George H.W. Bush was also at Fort Hood, not just his son.
Really?
Oh, yes. So we have some very credible information coming out of Killeen, Texas. And it's going around the world. So we have Chris Story to thank for putting this information out, because these things have been corroborated. And I can tell you my research and what you found is dovetailing right into his own. Different dimensions, but the facts add up exactly the same way.
Well, that's making sense. Making a lot of sense.
Now, there's even some recent information. You've probably heard people ask, where is the gold at Fort Knox?
Right.
There's allusion and various references to the fact that they took tungsten bars and basically gold-plated them. And tungsten evidently weighs about the same as gold, so they used the tungsten to replenish the stolen gold in Fort Knox for public relations purposes, basically. And there were hints that maybe the money that they were picking up at the airstrip at Fort Hood. See, there were three separate incidents going on simultaneously. We know from various sources that there was a shooting at this processing center where the soon to be deployed get their medical checkups and I suppose their swine flu vaccines now. And then there was an incident at the base theater, and there was also an incident at the barracks. Initially, from independent reports, I'm not talking about mainstream media, this Hassan, who we now know is Ali Zane, was meeting with two soldiers who were they were opposing their deployment to Afghanistan. The media has said that it's Hassan who did the shooting and was the one to be deployed. Whether or not he was going to be deployed, the shooting as described was impossible. He couldn't have been in three places shooting all these people with two handguns. And there were helicopters flying around as well. And someone reported seeing a C-130 take off at the airstrip on the west end of the base. So you actually have four separate incidents going on, three involving gunfire. And we got wind that this theft or this attempt to steal this money was met with some opposition, too. That's a newer dimension that we haven't really heard about at all. Of course, we haven't heard one word about, you know, the heist that was occurring there. And those were the Chinese assets based on tons and tons of gold that was given to the United States for the purpose of reestablishing the Iraqi economy after the raid on the Central Bank of Iraq. That money ended up on 55 pallets parked in Jordan and were sent back to Fort Hood and were there for about 15 years. You see, so we have motive, and the shooting was just a diversion. But the motive was to steal this money to likely finance Al-Qaeda or to finance the bogus derivative hedge fund market that has been frozen virtually wherever they can find these accounts. And whose accounts are they getting into? Bush's. See, the Bushes have the motivation for pulling off such an event. And they were seen there. Even the L.A. Times reported it. Any thoughts on all this?
Well, yeah, it just has to be a motive for all of this going on as a diversion. That's what we talked about on my show as well. I should say I talked about it as a monologue. It you just don't have this multiple shooting event. Again, going back to... the initial news reports, it was first reported that there were three shooters involved. Then there was reports that a SWAT team, a civilian SWAT team now, never mind that there are 17,000 active duty or military personnel on Fort Hood, why have civilian SWAT teams called in? That was just amazing. That these active duty personnel couldn't take care of the problem. But anyway, the SWAT team came out and took out the three shooters. Now, the next report was that I'd heard was that two of the shooters were confirmed dead and one was gravely, mortally wounded. And then the next report was there was just one shooter and he wasn't seriously wounded, he was dead. And then the next report was, no, he's in the hospital and okay. There was actually a report of the shooter being taken out in a body bag that I had seen as the story was breaking. Amazing that the reports were just different than from each one. And finally, now we have the FBI last Friday was saying that they wouldn't even bring charges against the Assam because he wasn't the shooter, but that was short-lived. Of course, he's now been indicted and that, but why would the FBI make such a statement that they didn't believe he was the shooter? See, so, you know, there has to be something much bigger going on, a diversion. I think there might have been some alert people trying to stop this heist of 55 pallets of great fortune, and that there was just a shootout and had to be given a cover.
Yeah, and the calling of, well, you know, we hear that private security guards the entrances to the base. However, you have military police, you have certainly you have infantry there. I mean, there should be a way for the base commander to circumvent certain restrictions in emergency situations like this so that those soldiers can defend themselves. How does that feel to a professional soldier to have to wait for a female police officer to come to his or her rescue?
Mm-hmm.
On the largest military base in Texas, if not in the country.
It's the largest in the country, bar none.
Is that an intentional stand down like a 9/11?
Well, there's just a lot of parallels again to something else weird and happened down the road in Waco. You know,
yes,
the Branch Davidian standoff. There's just some weird things going on there.
Yes, Yes, and of course, we know that the Clintons were heavily involved in that whole affair. Janet Reno was involved in that. And now that the word got out that the Bushes were there in Texas, the Clintons and the Bushes are sort of at each other's throats over this whole thing. They certainly would have liked to have stolen that money themselves.
Or at least have it split up before they stole it.
Well, yes, that's what I'm referring to. But or they could come up with a way, because there was a parallel operation going on in the Caribbean, too, as well, I understand. They've been trying to stash money there, and, of course, they've been stashing it in other countries. And word has it that certain bank directors are, if they're not horizontalized, as Christopher Story says, they've been arrested, and it's difficult to say. There's so much disinformation going on. All we have to do is sort of connect the dots here, and we can see that it's no accident that this guy attended the school, was involved in mind control programs, and he's there on the scene to be the patsy for another false flag event designed to foment hatred of Muslim people.
Well, I need to kind of wonder where that the 55 pallets of valuables, why they needed to be taken out of protective custody of Fort Hood, where they should be like in Fort Knox, but they're not. Fort Knox is basically an empty shell, I understand. But here we are in Fort Hood. They're taking this out. For what purpose? Where do they take it? They take it down to the Bush compound now in South America?
In Paraguay?
Paraguay.
I understand it was intercepted, that Chinese secret police were tipped off because of Christopher Story's prior article and were able to track where this went. That's not been disclosed, but it's fairly certain that they intercepted it. And we're talking about 1933 and 34 notes as well.
Right.
So this has historical connections to monies that were found buried in the Philippines. The deposing of Ferdinand Marcos was directly related to the theft of money that was in the Philippine National Bank. Many knew that, and the, you know, they, where did they send him? They sent him to Hawaii. Out of all the places they could send him in the whole world, they sent him to Hawaii.
Hmm. Well, I had a gentleman come forward, it's been 6 months ago. He claimed, and he has all of these pictures done that were just amazing, you know, that the Chinese government was searching high and low for these chests of incredibly valuable gold proofs. Again, going back to the original gold notes and certificates dating back, you know, to the 1920s and 30s. Just as the Federal Reserve was trying to get their foothold, you know, they actually issued redeemable notes in gold, and then they actually had, gold and silver ingots stamped with the imprints. Well, these chests were evidently the monetary basis for funding the Mao Zedong takeover of Chiang Kai-shek. See, when you have a funded, well-funded revolution, communist or otherwise, there has to be, you know, money to pay for the armaments. And as the story went, the national Chinese and under Chiang Kai-shek intercepted the treasure chests and actually buried them again, in a secret location there in China. And the Chinese have really wanted to get the Communist Party has just tried like everything to get them back. Now the individual came with with the documents and pictures and everything of these amazingly valuable. You know, it's in the trillions of dollars of value now, just because of the certificate and notes, you know, to the original reserve boys of Kuhn Loeb and Company and others on Wall Street. Well, the individuals involved wanted to mount a commando type of operation to spirit these things out of China. And I, looking at what he was wanting to do with these Chinese individuals that are now quite elderly, you know, wanting to fund a counter movement in China, you know, for human rights. You're going to start an international incident trying to get a Western commando group to come and get this info, get these clearly Western valuables out of China. So, you know, I know what you're saying as far as the Marcos situation. The Philippines was very similar. You know, it's the funding of the U.S. base and that in the Philippines, of course, following the conclusion of World War II, these assets went to some shady people. They were used in the wrong way. Ditto with the assets there under Mao in China as well. So, yeah,
yes.
The Fort Hood thing fits in the same category. Covered it up. As it's taken out, there was a firefight, and apparently there were, you know, that's what happened.
I think as time goes by, this will be exposed for what it really is. And it's likely because there were far more serious issues, and I'm not belittling the importance of those that were lost, whether they were actually murdered or wounded. Those that have suffered from this should be foremost in our thoughts. Yet this happened on 9/11 too. We had a mass murder of well over 3,000 people occur while there was a bank heist, and this is nothing but organized crime. And it's moved to the highest levels of government and the military. Their method has always been the military-industrial complex. And we have that again. There's absolutely no doubt that it's anyone else.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we have this pandemic influenza being created, reverse engineered, and released for specific socioeconomic reasons.
And it's biowarfare.
Biowarfare for sterilization is really what I'm maintaining. And again, not everybody that takes this vaccine will have the desired effect because, again, it's tied to RESA, RH factors, ESA characteristics, or the Christ genes. This is not coincidence that Nyman, you know, named his company RESA Labs, RHIZA. So, yeah, just incredible research going on. DARPA, that doggone 7,000-foot-deep butt mountain facility. You know, I sent to you also a paper of, you know, that was a copy of the 1934 Los Angeles Times, where they had uncovered a series of incredible tunnels under the Los Angeles area. And these tunnels were tied to what the local Indians referred to in their legends as the lizard people, of all things.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I read that some years ago. You had the Battle of Los Angeles in 1942 also. Those two stories almost fit hand in glove, let's put it that way. Yes, it's a very, very interesting story.
I just draw the parallels to that and the massive of tunnel complex under Butt Mountain. I don't think those were all done by our government. I think they were already existing tunnel structures.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. And those are all over the place. They're in New Mexico and Arizona and Colorado and further out west as well.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
The mesas there of the Hopi Indians, I've had occasion with friends I have in the tribe. I was actually witness to some of their Kiva dances and ceremonies, talking to their elders. These dances have been going on the same, basically unchanged for over 2,000 years. And the Kivas, most people don't understand, they are ancient openings into massive underground tunnel structures. The Hopi Indians claim that during the time of the Great Flood, they survived the cataclysm by going and living with their brothers, the ant people, inside the earth. And they lived there with them for 100 or so years and then came back out and formed their Pueblo cultures there. But they have the legends of the lizard race as well. In fact, the Hopis do the snake dance, which is just an amazing ritual in the fall of the year, where they bring in Gila monsters and rattlesnakes of all shapes and sizes, and they release them in these bags. There's literally hundreds of them in this Kiva, but their dance and their rhythm and their movements literally hypnotize these pit vipers and poisonous reptiles to the point where they're just completely docile and peaceful. Going back to the snake charmers of India with their flutes and their movements and doing it with the cobras. Well, again, it goes back to the specific pulse and rhythm of the earth, keeping the serpent race, the lizard race that's inside the bowels of the earth, according to them, in a balanced state, so they don't become violent again and appease them. And that's, they're talking about a very, very ancient ritual that has really remained unchanged.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Rutt, hate to interrupt you here. We have Rodney in South Carolina on the line. Rodney, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Thank you, Don. Hello, Dr. Rutt.
Hello, Don.
This is Rodney.
Rodney, I'm sorry. I didn't know that.
I'm Don. Okay.
It's getting late.
Yeah, I know.
Actually,
I thought I heard you say his name was Don. I apologize, Rod. Go ahead.
I'll make it quick. China quietly introduces new financial system. China has stealthily introduced a new financial system based on the renminbi, which is well on its way to becoming fully convertible. According to a high-level Chinese source, in addition, China is purchasing 10,000 tons of gold to back up a new fund designed to develop and market hereto forbidden and suppressed technologies. The fund will be based outside of China and will be controlled by prominent members of the Chinese overseas community. The gold purchase will take some time because of the logistics of transporting it, and the Chinese wish to test it thoroughly. Both the Chinese government and MI6 now confirm reports that much of the gold sold by the Federal Reserve Board over the past decade is, in fact, gold-plated tungsten. For its part of the renminbi is now convertible with South African currencies, the ruble, Middle East currencies, the yen, Southeast Asian currencies, and African currencies. We will slowly introduce our new financial system in parallel with the old one and hope that people steadily migrate towards it, the Chinese official says. Hang on. A little bit more. Come on. Be patient.
If I can interrupt here for a second, you know, that reference to 10,000 tons of gold is kind of interesting, because that's how much money the Chinese lent the United States to to put these Iraqi notes in place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the money that was at Fort Hood.
Uh-huh.
Now, Now, it appears to be a ruse. This story is disinformation designed to say, well, this is not real money. This is tungsten. I'm not buying this story, but go ahead.
Okay. Meanwhile, the latest G20 meeting ended in acrimony and chaos. The leadership of the West is in total disarray and will remain so until the Federal Reserve Board bankruptcy becomes visible even to brainwashed sections of the Western public. This is now expected by January or February. Both MI6, a senior Chinese government source, now predicted that the collapse of the Federal Reserve dollar by that time. We're also hearing various reports that many Pentagon and other U.S. alphabet suit agencies, figures with both U.S. and Israel citizenships, have recently fled to Israel. Things are coming to a head.
Now, what is the source of this information, Rodney?
Benjamin Fulford.
Okay. There's a little bit of disinformation in that, and I would have to say that based on his accessibility to David Rockefeller, he's being used to put out a lot of disinformation.
Do you think?
I do. And the story, the tungsten story, I'm familiar with. I was referring to it before. You see, they're going to use this as the ruse, as if to say, well, this isn't really gold. They're claiming it's gold, but it's not. It's another metal that has the same weight as gold. Isn't that ironic that I mentioned that prior to you reading that?
Well, that's why when I heard you mention that, that's why I called in to read this to see what you were going to say.
Yeah. Fulford has made, various references to things going on in the financial community worldwide that absolutely are not true. And for him to make friends with the head of the P2 Lodge of the Illuminati in Italy, Leo Zagami, is rather disingenuous. It's playing both sides of the fence. Don't tell me that the guy that supposedly left the Illuminati and was oppressed by them when he fled to Norway with his wife and child suddenly gets reborn and becomes the very leader of that group.
Was that goofy-looking idiot they did the video on?
Well, he was a somebody who sort of resembles a young Sylvester, or not Sylvester, but I mean Anton LaVey.
He looked like a Satanist.
Yeah, he looks like very much like a Satanist. Okay, he's got that appearance, except he's got hair on his head. He's much younger, and he's also an Italian disc jockey. You see, they make their connection with the youth through music and celebrity. No, Zagami has been a disinformationalist. He's a Satanist of the highest order, no doubt about it.
Oh, I figured that by looking at him. I had to watch that video a couple times, and I said, oh, you are nothing but the Illuminati Satanist.
Yeah, and under the pretext of bringing people together, oh, we need to come together with the Satanists now, do we?
Yeah, not in my book.
You know, and I have to say, you know, for being an expatriate Canadian, Fulford's English is not that good. His grammar and his spelling are horrific.
Yes, they are.
You know, and I hope he doesn't think I'm slandering him because I'm just making an observation.
Well, I just wanted to read it and see what you thought. And because all this stuff is flying around, I thought, well, let's get this all out here.
I need to kind of jump in, too, on this one, Don.
Sure, go ahead. I've
been talking with the members of the Lyndon LaRoche camp there, and they have some interest. In fact, Friday I'm having a guest of the LaRoche camp again on my radio show. But they're telling me that with Obama's scheduled visit to China, the main topic is trying to dissuade them. They're actually going to beg them on bended knee to to quit pressuring the OPEC nations to discontinue the dollar as a valuation of the oil, and just basically they're trying to get the yen, which is now backed by the American gold and tonnage, as the valuation of the oil worldwide. Now, because if that happened too soon, according to their plan, it would collapse the American economy and make us third world overnight. They don't want that to happen quite as, you know, soon. They want it to kind of happen on their agenda, not on the Chinese agenda.
Yeah, but our economy really collapsed in 1933. They're just pretending that it didn't.
Oh yes, but the key to keeping it going is the price supports of the per oil barrel, okay, based on the U.S. dollar. Take those price supports out, as LaRouche says, and it's a Western collapse. And that, again, it's not by accident. The people pulling the strings of the People's Liberation Army in China, or, you know, the British House of Lords and the House of Rothschild. So it's just a matter of where they want the power bases to swing. You see?
Yeah. Well, I mentioned on a few previous shows that about every 20 years, one of the 13 Illuminati families gets paid off. And it appears that the Chinese are in line to be the next ones to get paid off. But because these funds are being stolen nonstop, 24/7, Obama, for example, is alleged to have been trying to work out opium deals in Canada through a bank in Toronto. And he's using the Prosperity and Freedom funds to try to pull that off. That, of course, that's been caught and stopped, they say, but nonetheless, those that have been waiting for years for these funds to be returned to them basically have their hands tied and don't really know what to do, because we hear these stories of the PACs are being released, we should have them delivered tomorrow, and then they're called back to D.C., or they're called back to the Pentagon, or the Treasury, or the White House. This story's been going on for years.
Right.
And it's really what's going on behind the scene, and what we're being told publicly through these, for example, this piece that Rodney was reading. They're trying to say that this isn't real gold. Well, the Chinese already loaned 10,000 tons of gold to the United States. This is the Fort Hood money that Bush was trying to steal. He wasn't stealing it to give it to the Chinese, I can guarantee you that.
And, of course, the Chinese have incredible stockpiles of U.S. dollars for the trade deficits that have been going on since the Clinton era.
Yes.
According, again, to LaRouche, they've just inked a deal with the Russians to use the U.S. dollar base, put it back into circulation because of they're building a Trans-Siberian railroad and that to open up the Siberian steppes, and that for excavation of their precious metals and the reserves there as well. So there's, according to LaRouche, this is very good news for the West, and the fact that it'll put those U.S. dollars back in world circulation and kind of give us a little bit of a breather again. So,
well, you know, if we get them, yes. If the government controls them, or the Federal Reserve.
Well, it'll be a multinational project involving U.S. technology as well, but it's going to be based in USD, not rubles and not yen. So, yeah.
Okay, Rodney, does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. One more quick thing. According to Lindsay Williams, if he's got any real truth, they've extended their date of our collapse out to 2012.
Yeah, to me, Lindsay Williams has a lot of credibility. He doesn't name his sources, and you don't, but let's face it, I've never seen anything that he's said that has not been accurate.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple things I've caught him on. When he said that somewhere in January they're going to have a big shakeup in the oil industry, that I knew many years ago. and it's called an open basket. In other words, the Middle East is no longer going to use the Texas oil monetary, whatever that's called. I don't know what it is without rehearing the show, but I knew about that back in 05-06. It was called an open basket. It's a Middle East Oil Alliance Accord, and that's finally taken place. In other words, the big players have lost their power, and it will happen. It's just like they're going to bring out cars with hydrogen. Japan has finally shown the cars that burn water. All the old, I should say, all the technologies that have been hidden for years are going to come out. And that I know for a fact. I cannot reveal my source. I've been told not to.
Mm-hmm.
The game's over. I'll quote the man that told me, the jig's up, game over. How long it'll take, who knows? That's why we're in this urinating contest with the flu epidemics and all this, because they are scared assless.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Bush and Cheney, the whole Bush family and the Clintons, and there's a man named Tim Riefat. They can say what they want about him. I've followed him big time. And he's already told them, we know where your compound is. You can hide. You can run, but you can't hide. He's already told them, if you try to pull off this war against Iran, he said they will use Cobalt-60 against them. It is in place. Now, when Riefat says that, I believe him. He said when they do it, they will take out four different places at one time. That's scary.
Yeah, we've had the intelligence agencies. I would say was Israeli provoked through the Mossad. About a week before the inauguration, if you were listening to this show, Rodney, you would have heard us on about six successive nights, and as well as on some other shows, exposing the intent to blast seven U.S. cities with nuclear weapons. Now, a lot of people have accused me and a few other people of putting out disinformation on this, but I was told that the second night of the broadcast put a stop to it.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember hearing that.
Yes. And Dr. K was on that show. Michael Anthony was on that show. Scientist inventor Jim Murray was on that show. And
I remember hearing it. I mean, here's one that was recently, it's been within the last 3 months, Israel was jumping up and down, stomping about what it was going to do to Iran. And Syria and Libya told Israel, if you touch Iran, we'll vaporize your ass, quote unquote. They're not playing.
Yeah, I heard that statement made, too.
Let's put it this way. Riefat went so far, and they can go back, and if they don't want to believe me, they can go back in the Rentz's archives and, you know, listen to it for themselves. He specifically said that the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, and the, what's that place down there that, in South America where they all hide?
Well, there's a lot of places.
Well, that's the big compound.
Paraguay.
That's in Paraguay.
He told Jeff over the air that night, he said, simultaneously, he says, you screw with Iran, he said, we'll take you out all at one time with Cobalt 60. He says, you have a nice day. And he's not kidding.
Yeah.
See, he used to be MI6, MI5. He knows what they're about to do. He's trying to stop them. They've been trying to kill him for years. He's a whistleblower.
Yeah.
Now, everything I've said tonight, whoever's listening in, is history, because this stuff has all been said and discussed.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that God-level heads prevail and can stop this kind of horrible thing, because, you know, I listened to one of the guys on just tonight. The chemtrails out in California were horrible. Well, they nailed us real good today, too. And
they're spraying all kinds of things on us right now, Rodney. Well, listen, I hate to cut you off, but we're going to have to end tonight's show. I want to thank you for calling in. And
hey, God bless you both, and thank you for taking my call. You have a good week.
Thank you, Rodney, Donald, or whoever you are.
Rodney. That's right.
Good night, gentlemen.
Good night.
Good night. Oh. That was still bothering you, was it?
I could have sworn I heard you announce him and say his name was Donald. I'm sorry.
Rodney. That's our good friend Rodney. He calls into your show and some other shows on Republic as well.
Uh-huh, pretty good.
And he's paying attention. He's got a good grasp of what's going on.
We need more Rodneys then.
Yes. Well, it's interesting that that information came out from Benjamin Fulford. He's the one that also said that the secret Chinese societies are going to put a stop to all this. Well, what are they waiting for?
Really, they seem to be as corrupt as anything else. These Chinese, I've read a lot of Fulford stuff, and it just doesn't mesh.
No, but we're entitled to our opinions, are we not?
Well, sure, and they're entitled to be. We have the right to be wrong.
Well, Dr. Ott, we've run out of time. I want to thank you for coming on the show. Now, you're not going to be with us next week, but I believe you will be with us the following week.
I will, God willing. I was told by my sweetheart that this week is family time. I'll be on a cruise laying out probably somewhere. I'll be out to sea on Monday next, but even if I had a satellite phone, I was told this is not time for interviews. It's time for family.
Yeah, well, just to let you know, I confirmed Dr. Rashid A. Buttar as a guest on the show on the 25th of this month.
Wow, fantastic.
And we're going to be discussing Desiree Jennings' case and her miraculous recovery.
Ask him about April and Gary and their connections with them down in Florida as well. We discussed his work extensively on our show last Tuesday, I believe. But love to have him go on with April and Gary, and they are in fact doing great work in reversing these autistic children and getting them detoxified and getting them back on task, and that's wonderful. Good for you.
Well,
glad to hear that.
Well, I want to remind the listeners they can hear your show on republicbroadcasting.org Monday through Friday from 1 to 3 Central Time. That's the time zone where that's broadcast out of. And you're also on the Rents Radio Network, and you like to give out Mountain Time on that one.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm kind of a short time on that. The sponsorship expired, and so we'll just be focusing on RBN. Unfortunately, I sure appreciate Jeff Rentz and all the work he does, but the times are getting tough economically for people. I tell you, it's been a lot of support and sponsorship dollars have somehow dried up. I don't know what's going on. This economy's a little bit worse than we're led to believe, I think.
Oh, yes, it's a much different story. And, of course, I keep telling people, don't expect the media to start telling you the truth when they've been lying to you for so many years. It's
right.
Just not going to happen. And we have to pick up the slack there, which is what we're doing.
We're trying.
So I want to thank you for your contribution and let the listeners know that you and I are working together on a piece that will be out in this month's Idaho Observer.
Absolutely. Mostly your work, but I'm going to add a few 2 cents worth and let's get her out there.
Does that mean I get 98 cents worth?
Yes, you get the whole Megillah.
Well, thank you for being on the show. Wish you a nice holiday. We won't be talking until after the holiday. Thanksgiving. Whatever that means today.
Really?
And
just thank God for every day.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. So you took the words right out of my mouth. Well, you have yourself a wonderful evening, and I look forward to either my next appearance on your show or yours here on Evident Footprints.
Thank you, and Godspeed, and God bless you, Don.
Same to you. Thank you.
Good night.
My best to your family as well.
Thank you.
Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and our special guest, Dr. A. True Ott. We'd like to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com for broadcasting this show, either live or in archive format. A special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, Rodney, our caller this evening, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow for another great show. And in the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.